This is the BBC Home Service and the British Forces Broadcasting Service. Saturday Night Theatre. We present David March, Rona Anderson, and Gudrun Yor in Shadow of Murder, adapted from her novel by Charity Blackstock. Shadow of Murder.
Sorry.
Oh, do come in. I was just saying to my little daughter how nice it would be to have someone to talk to, wasn't I, Kate?
Yes.
Oh, I assure you, I wouldn't dream of disturbing you. I expect there are empty carriages.
There's a corner seat for you.
I shall be getting off at Ballyhoonish.
Ah, you'll be staying at the Station Hotel, then?
Oh, no, past Glencoe and the Three Sisters. Oh, damn.
You'll have to dry your paper out before you can read it.
So I see. Do you mind if I smoke?
Of course not.
Your daughter...
Oh, no, no, thank you.
Oh, Kate never smokes, do you, darling? Such a dangerous habit. Besides, I think it's a wee bit unfeminine. So you're staying at the Three Sisters. That means we are practically neighbours. I'm Mrs. Stewart of Etive Farm, and this is my bad little daughter, Kate. She looks such a crosspatch, but I think she's rather nice, though maybe I'm prejudiced. Oh, it's going to be marvellous having you so near. You must, of course, come to see us, Mr... Such a bleak place you've chosen for your holiday. But Mrs. Forbes is a nice little buddy, and I'm sure she'll do her best for you. There are only two other guests at the moment. You will be an artist, of course.
No. If you insist on knowing, I'm a writer.
Oh, but how thrilling. Kate, do you hear that?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, she's such a reader, you know. Are you writing about the massacre?
Oh, Mummy, you should...
No, I'm not writing anything. I have just divorced my wife, Mrs. Stewart. I've heard, if it interests you, one hell of a time. And the reason I've chosen so bleak a place is that I don't want to see anyone or talk to anyone.
Oh, you poor man. In that case, Mr... I'm afraid I didn't quite catch your name.
I didn't give it you. Shawfield's the name. John Shawfield.
Oh? Why, of course I remember now. You were married to Sylvia Court, the actress. It was in the papers, wasn't it?
It was.
Well, we'll just have to try and cheer you up, won't we, Katie? Well, you're being very quiet, darling. Oh, she never talks much, Mr. Shawfield, but I know she's as sorry for you as I am.
Oh, Mummy, really?
It's all right, Miss Stewart. I don't need anyone's pity.
That's probably just as well, Mr. Shawfield.
Now what?
I understand exactly how you feel, you see. I was divorced, too. Oh, such terrible tricks life plays in one. And Sylvia Court's the loveliest girl. I adored her last film.
No one could deny her. She was a good actress.
Now, we're not going to let you brood. The past is so isolated. But I'm sure the MacDonald boy will be only too delighted to meet a fellow scribe.
Who's MacDonald?
Oh, he's at the hotel, too, the dearest boy. He's doing a book on the massacre, getting the local colour. He says he wants it to soak in.
That should be easy enough in this climate.
His ancestor was in it, you know. Alexander MacDonald of Achtriochen, who was carried to the hills by his nurse on that terrible night. Young Ian is his descendant. Oh, he's a fanatical Jacobite, though actually he's lived all his life in the South. You said your name was Shawfield.
I did.
Oh, I should have recognized it, of course. Campbell of Shawfield. Oh, young MacDonald will have his knife into you, you know.
I assure you, my name...
The word Cruachan will naturally be familiar to you.
Why on earth should it be?
It's the Campbell battle cry. It's a word that has the bitterest significance in Glencoe. I'm afraid I fail to see why this is amusing.
Mummy, he can't help his name.
Thank you, Kate. I'm quite capable of seeing that for myself. I'm not blaming you, Mr. Shawfield. There are good Campbells as well as bad.
Well, that's fair enough. Who, by the way, is my other fellow guest? You did say there were two of them.
Oh, Mr. Curtis. Such a dear wee man.
Is he a clansman, too?
Oh, dear me, no. He's very English. A retired bank manager. I believe he's had a nervous breakdown and is here on doctor's orders. Oh, he's very quiet. Only goes out occasionally for a wee spin in his car. He's so devoted to Hughie, it's quite touching.
So devoted to Hughie?
Oh, yes. He even buys apples for him.
Hughie is a horse, Mr. Shawfield.
Oh, a Jacobite horse, I presume.
Oh, that's just silly.
No sillier than the rest of it.
Oh, Hughie's a darling. Mrs. Forbes adores him. We call him the Lord Provost of Glencoe. Well, now, we've told him everything, haven't we, Kate? I do hope you'll not be bored with us, Mr. Shawfield.
I don't see how I could possibly be.
Well, if you are, you must come and see us. But don't walk alone in the pass at night, will you? Not with that murderer around.
Murderer? What murderer?
Oh, Mummy, please don't.
Oh, don't be so silly, darling. You're not a baby. Of course Mr. Shawfield must be told about it. Didn't you read about that dreadful man who killed his wife and buried her under the floorboards?
Oh, now you come to mention it, I did. We shared headlines, as it were. But I'd no idea we were also sharing a holiday.
It was really shocking. Of course, Kate is so sensitive, she takes after me, and I don't want to frighten her, but he cut her up into little bits, Mr. Shawfield, and they seemed such a devoted couple. Nobody knew about it at first. He said she'd gone away to stay with her sister, and then he went away himself, but of course... Well, I mean, he put disinfectant down, but... Anyway, they dug her up in pieces. In tiny pieces, Mr. Shawfield. Can you imagine it?
Yes. Better than you might credit.
The things people do. And the police think he's somewhere around here. The local people are convinced he's actually hiding in Ossian's cave on the cliffs of Hanuchdu. Though how he could ever climb up there. We're all so scared we might suddenly meet him. He cut her up into little bits. His own wife. What gets into people, Mr. Shawfield, that they do such awful things?
Perhaps you can only take so much for so long. It might happen to any of us, Mrs. Stewart. It might so easily have happened to me.
To you? But you're not a murderer.
Oh, aren't we all? But you've no need to be afraid of him. His state is far worse than yours could ever be. If you met him, he'd do the running away. I'm sure...
Oh, we're here. There's a halt here and we can get a lift the whole way home. Oh, if you just help me down with my baggage.
Oh, yes, of course.
That's it, thank you. Oh, goodbye, Mr. Campbell. We'll be seeing each other very soon, and then you can tell me all about your book. Oh, Kate, hold this for goodness sake. You know they don't stop here for more than a minute.
Mummy, his name is not...
Don't forget to call on us. Goodbye just now.
Will you be Mr. Shawfield?
That's correct.
The car's here for you, sir, from the Three Sisters. I'll be taking you up the pass.
How far is the hotel now?
Oh, it'll be half a mile, perhaps.
Then stop, please. I'm going to walk it.
Walk? It's a terrible night.
Well, never mind. It suits my mood. But you'd better take my case on for me.
It'd be easier if I took you on as well. Mistress Forbes will think it strange if I arrive without you.
Look, surely there's no law against my walking if I want to. Do you think the murderer will get me? They say he's a little man and I'm 6 foot odd. I expect he's asleep now anyway. Tucked up cosily in Ossian's cave. Poor devil. I hope he's got a hot water bottle.
I don't know what Mistress Forbes will say. After all, I was supposed to fetch you, and she'll not be too pleased to think I've left you in the middle of the pass. It seems daft to me. Are you sure you'll not change your mind, sir?
No, I need to stretch my legs and breathe a little honest-to-God fresh air. Tell Mrs. Forbes I won't be long. I'll be as hungry as a hunter, and needing a nice stiff drink.
I'll be on my way, then.
What a night for a massacre. What the devil's that? Who's there? Are you by any chance a Campbell? Cruachan! Oh, why? It's Huey. Oh, my boy, Huey. Oh. I'm afraid I've nothing for you, old boy. Hey, leave my raincoat alone, will you, fat clot? You're bulging enough without my buttons. Oh, off you go, friend. It's too damn cold to stay gossiping here. And I haven't got as much flesh on me as you have. Next time, Huey, I'll have an apple for you. Good night, old boy. I've no doubt we'll be seeing a lot of each other. Oh, hello, Mrs. Forbes.
Oh, there you are.
Hope I haven't kept you waiting. It's a brute of a night. Oh, that dinner smells good.
Well, I've kept it hot for you, Mr. Shawfield. Oh, this is one of your fellow guests, Mr. Curtis.
How do you do? Pleased to meet you.
And this is Mr. MacDonald.
How do you do?
Well, there are just the three of you. We are never fool in the winter. Now, would you like a drink?
Oh, very much indeed. Yes. Large whiskey, please. Perhaps you two gentlemen care to join me?
Well, that's most kind. I don't usually indulge just after a meal, but a small port would be very enjoyable.
Good. And you, sir?
I haven't got the money to drink. I understand you write books, too.
How does she do it? Oh, thank you, Mrs. Forbes. I need that. Cheers. Yes, Mr. MacDonald, I write books, too.
I gather you're writing on the massacre. It's only fair to tell you my book has been commissioned and is due to come out soon.
You've no need to worry. I'm no more interested in massacres than I am in murderers. I'm here for a rest.
Not interested. But of course you would say that with your ancestry.
Such a nice port. I do like a sweet port. Your very good health, Mr. Shawfield.
Shawfield.
As you say, Shawfield. Cheers, Mr. Curtis. Are you sure you won't drink, Mr. MacDonald?
I do not drink with Campbells.
Oh, one should drink with everyone, even if one dirks them afterwards. Well, I gather my dinner's ready, and after that I'm going straight to bed. Should I perhaps say good night to the murderer?
Why do you say that?
Well, isn't the poor beggar supposed to be hiding out there? I don't envy him. I think I'd rather be in prison.
Do we have to endure this gale? We'll all get our death of cold.
There are worse deaths. And it's he who's cold. Fancy lying out there with a ghost of a disintegrating wife.
Oh, do please shut that window. My chest is not...
Oh, sorry, Mr. Curtis. I'm a selfish devil. There are no ghosts. Only the old mate Hewitt patrolling the old military road. There. Well, I'll be off to my dinner now. Good night. I'll see you in the morning. Good morning. Oh, I see where to sit at the same table.
I think Mrs. Forbes felt it was a bit silly to sit at different corners of the room, as there are just three of us. May I pass you the condiments?
Oh, my God! Do you have to use that word? You'll be crooking your little finger next.
I fear I do not have the advantages of your education, Mr. MacDonald. I'm sorry if my way of expressing myself displeases you.
I'm afraid Mr. MacDonald's education doesn't extend to his manners. Pay no attention, Mr. Curtis, and I should like the condiments very much. This angry young man's simply showing off.
I'm not staying here to be insulted.
Well, well. So silly to sit at different corners of the room. Or is it?
Oh, dear me, dear me.
I'm afraid we'll have to ask his parents to remove that boy. Have you had a lot of this?
Well, he's an artist, of course. I believe all artists are a little nervy.
Now, forgive me, but that's just baloney. Why do you put up with it?
I endeavor not to judge my fellow men. Only I do think animals are more agreeable than humans. By the way, Mr...
Shawfield.
Of course. My memory. I was just going to say that you can always use my car when you need it. You need never hesitate to ask.
Oh, how kind of you. I'll probably take advantage of that one day.
Well, you're very welcome. I always say it would be a sad world if we didn't help each other.
Yes, I suppose it would. I gather you're a great friend of Huey's.
Oh, we're the greatest, greatest friends. Such a human animal. And I fear he's a little greedy. The local farmers have to lock their gates against him at night. Unfortunately, once Mrs. Stewart... She owns the Etive farm near Dalness.
I know.
A very sweet lady. She locked her gates once, only she made a mistake. She didn't lock Hughie out, she locked him in.
Oh.
And he ate a whole sack of oats.
Oh, good heavens.
But it was serious, you see, because if he'd drunk water after that, he'd have burst. Oh, it wasn't funny, I assure you. Fortunately, the dear old chap couldn't find anything to drink.
Well, why does Mrs. Forbes let him wander about like that?
Oh, he likes his freedom. You know, Mr. Shawfield, I sometimes wonder if the soul of the MacDonald chieftain, MacEarn, inhabits dear Hughie's body.
Certainly plenty of room.
Well, when one watches him walking the pass night after night, one really gets the impression he's still brooding on the massacre. If one only knew the thoughts in his wise old head.
Oh, apples, biscuits, oats, I should imagine.
Oh, no. No, you don't understand.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make fun of him.
Well, I think I'll take my little constitutional. I've not been very well, you know. I've not been well at all.
And it's bitterly cold out.
And I need fresh air. I don't like being cooped up.
I wonder if this coffee is still hot. Oh, yes.
Oh, was that Mr. Curtis going out?
Yes. He's braver than I am. I'm just going to sit by your lovely fire. I see old Hughie's just outside.
I bet he'd come in here if you gave him half a chance.
Oh, him. He'll stay there in the hopes of an apple. Mr. Curtis always feeds him, so he's come to expect it. Well, Kate feeds him, too, when she's over. Kate Stewart, you know, from Etith Farm. Oh, but of course you met her mother on the train.
I did, indeed.
Oh, well, she's a bit of a talker, but the lassie's a nice, sweet thing. Though I do wish she wasn't so much under her mother's thumb. Mrs. Stewart was a great beauty in her day, you know, and poor Katie gets depressed because she thinks she's so plain.
Oh, she's got magnificent red hair.
If she'd only do it properly. She's a capable lassie, anyway. It's a pity she's not in charge of the farm. I'm afraid they'll end by being evicted. Oh. They never got the hay in at all last year, and three of their cattle starved to death. Oh. Mr. Curtis was very upset about it. Ah, but I mustn't stand here blethering. You'll be wanting to get on with your book. Oh, what is the subject, or shouldn't I ask?
Oh, I just write novels.
Oh, I do so like a good tale. I must read one of them. Oh, if you want something to read, there are some magazines and papers over there. And perhaps Mr. MacDonald would lend you something. He's a good boy, but very highly strung. Mm. He lets the massacre prey on his mind, as if it wasn't bad enough to have this terrible murderer so near us. Of course, I bolt the doors and windows every night.
You better be careful you don't lock him in by mistake, like Hughie and the Oats.
Oh, my goodness me. Don't say things like that, Mr. Shawfield.
This isn't really important, but has it struck you that one of us almost certainly has met the murderer?
Hmm? What do you mean?
Our friend outside, Hughie.
Aye. Well, I must get on with my work.
Old hopeful, aren't you, Hughie? I've still nothing for you. What's the murderer like? Did he ever tell you why he murdered? So that's your considerable dream, is it? But I'll tell you something you don't know. I nearly killed my own wife once. Only somehow I didn't quite make it. But he did, Lionel Merritt. That's his name. Married to Violet Merritt. They seemed a happy couple. They even had a cat. But no children. We had no children either. Sylvia wouldn't. Oh, am I boring you, Hughie? This isn't really the stuff for a nice, respectable horse. You go for your walk. I think I'll do the same.
I'm glad I've caught you. I want to apologize.
Apologize for what?
To think that I tried to shut the poor creature up.
What on earth are you talking about?
Tell me, how are you describing him?
Who?
The little man from Surbiton. Oh, I can just see it. And to think that I, a fellow writer, did my best to spoil it for you. What a good thing Mrs. Forbes told me you write novels.
I don't know if I'm following all this, but I gather I'm supposed to be putting Mr. Curtis in a book.
Pass the condiments. Marvellous, marvellous.
You seem to think my manners are worse than your own. Huh? Do you imagine I pull the strings to make a person dance for me? How dare you? You better get back to your thieving Highland reavers. Though God knows they'd probably chuck you into Loch Etive for the lousy little Southron that you are.
I'm a Scot! Oh,
where were you cradled, Sandy? In the collies of the Charing Cross Road?
Of course, with your name, you don't dare believe I'm descended from MacDonald of Artriochle.
The only pity is you ever descended at all. Oh, I'm going out for a walk. And I warn you, if you make fun of Mr. Curtis again, I'll throw the condiments in your face. Hey, who's chucking away perfectly good apples? Why, it's Miss Stewart. Hello there. You're a long way from home, aren't you?
Oh, hello, Mr. Shawfield.
I was on my way to Tyndrum. Nice to see you again, Tibby Fowler.
The Tibby Fowler was rich. That's why the men came after her. We haven't got any money at all. We're going to be evicted.
Oh, in that case, it seems a pity to waste good apples. Let me pick them up for you.
Mrs. Forbes promised me these. I biked up here with a message for her, then I dropped my bag.
I see.
Well, I suppose I'd better be getting along.
Oh, why? I should be glad to talk to a civilized person. Since I've been here, nobody mentions anything but murder and the devil.
Oh, when I was a little girl,
I had to read the Bible to my grandfather, and he'd never allow me to mention the devil. Huh. So I had to read out things like the world, the flesh, and the word I'm not supposed to say.
I should imagine there are a great many words that you're not supposed to say.
Well, I don't know why you should think that.
Why don't you sit down? Oh, is it too cold? We could go back to the hotel if you'd rather and have a drink.
Oh, no, no.
Why not?
Well, Mummy wouldn't like it.
Oh, I hadn't realized I was making an immoral proposition.
Well, in Scotland, ladies don't go into public houses. Of course, it's different in your part of the world. Ladies there can go wherever they like. They...
So you, too, read your papers.
Well, I must be getting along. Mummy...
I should never have come here. So you've read all about me, Miss Stewart. It must have greatly improved your knowledge of all the words you're not supposed to say.
Why are you talking to me like this? Well, of course I read the papers. And of course I recognized you. You were front page news, and you're very good looking.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be impertinent. When you see, well, I'd read all your books, and I liked them. And they're not the kind to go with all that sort of beastliness. Your last one was wonderful.
Oh, wouldn't you like an autograph copy, straight, as it were, from Gehenna?
Oh, no, thank you. I get them from the library, where you don't want to go squandering your royalties on me.
Good heavens.
And besides, you're so angry with me, I'm afraid I'm a clumsy person. I biked out specially to meet you. You know, before my mummy arrived, I dropped the apples on purpose. I expected you're finding this funny. You could put it into a book sometime.
Would you like a cigarette, Kate?
No.
Why not? After all, Mummy can't smell it from here. Oh, come on. Let me light it for you. I'm sorry I jumped down your throat like that. Of course you've read the newspapers. And I've an odd face and an odd name, too.
It's a Campbell name.
So everybody makes a point of telling me. Oh, never mind. What about our contemporary murderer? What's the latest news?
Oh, he shot you off the front pages, Mr. Shawford.
You impertinent baggage! If you're going to be so cheeky, you better call me John, or even, as my friends do, Johnny. I'm beginning to feel pushed into the elderly gentleman class.
Of course. John?
It comes easier after the first 10 years. So our murderer has replaced me, has he?
Oh, Mr. Shawfield. John, the poor creature. They're so certain he's here. Do you think he can really be hiding in these hills?
God help him if he is.
Oh, to be on the run like that, I don't know how he can endure it. The Pass of Glencoe is no place for a lonely, frightened man.
Girl, I think you'd better come and have that drink with me.
What sort of a person can he be?
A person like you and me, neither better nor worse, Kate. The human mind is like metal, you know. There's always a breaking point. Some of us murder, some of us mop and mow, some of us simply go to the devil. He chopped his wife up. That's just how it took him.
You're being awfully nasty.
Only because I'm afraid. Nothing makes people nastier. That's why I was so rude to you just now. Oh, well, let's walk back. We'll freeze if we don't. I'll wheel your bike for you.
Oh,
and you'd better give me your bag, too. I can't have you dropping it again.
Oh, I can
manage. Don't be silly. I wanted to talk to you, too. Why don't you have lunch with me? Oh, there's nothing even John Knox could say against that. You'll be superbly chaperoned, with Mr. Curtis passing the condiments on one side and Mr. MacDonald having a tantrum on the other.
Oh, I can't. How cold it is. I'm sure it's going to snow.
Why can't you?
Mummy expects me to be back at the farm.
Well, can't you ring somebody?
Oh, there's no telephone around here. Mrs. Forbes has been trying to get one for ages. Oh, but it's so difficult to lay down the wires or whatever it is one does.
Oh, that must be awkward when it snows.
Oh, if it snows, you probably won't get out at all.
Oh, very jolly. What does one do about food? I hope we don't have to add an outbreak of cannibalism to everything else.
You really have a horrid mind. Oh, don't worry. Mrs. Forbes talks up for emergencies. There'd be plenty to drink anyway.
Well, that's all right, then. So you're definitely not lunching with me?
No.
You know, how old are you?
I'm 25.
Would you think your mother has the right to run your life for you? I'm not, after all... forgive my crudity, suggesting we go to bed together. All I want is for you to share with me the midday roast and two veg.
Well, you're only asking me out of kindness. Oh. I hate people being kind to me.
Oh, if you're going to talk like that, I've nothing more to say to you. Go back to Mummy, Kate, and tell her from me she's made a shocking mess of your upbringing.
She was so lovely when she was young.
Was she?
I was engaged once.
Congratulations.
I brought him home. There is an old song now, isn't there? Now I have to call him Father.
You mean to say she married him?
Oh, no, no. But he fell in love with her. And that was that. Oh, there are other kinds of murder, you know, Mr. Shawfield, than chopping people up. Oh, I simply can't call you John. I don't know why. Mummy will be calling you by your first name in 5 minutes.
Oh, call me what you like. There's the hotel. You might remember, Kate, that Mummy isn't as young as she was, and that young men with Oedipus complexes don't make the best husbands. So I'll be meeting your mother again soon, will I?
Yes.
And she'll be turning on all her charm for me. Before I go in, just tell me this. Has she read all my books?
She borrowed them from the librarian last night. She was busy on them the whole evening.
Do you know, I think there's hope for you yet, Kate. I'm looking forward to meeting your mother again, and I don't mean that quite as you may imagine.
Oh, there's Mrs. Stewart asking for you, Mr. Shawfield.
Oh.
I did say you were all at dinner, but...
Oh, I'm disturbing you, and Mr. Curtis just about to carve to you. Isn't it a shame? Katie said you'd be eating, didn't you, Kate? And I just didn't listen. Now, you're just to go on eating, you poor hungry creatures, as if I wasn't here. I'll be away in a minute. I want a wee word with Mr. Shawfield.
I'm sure we're all delighted to see you.
We hadn't really started. Do sit down. Oh, oh. Hell, there's the pepper.
Oh. Confound it. Hello, Kate. Damn.
You see, Mrs. Stewart, the effect you have on us all. Hello, Kate.
Hello, Mr. Shawfield.
Oh, so we're back in square one, are we?
I don't know what you mean.
I just came to ask you to tea tomorrow afternoon, Mr. Shawfield. And I'm not asking you, Ian. You've caught a cold, you poor boy.
It's the pepper.
Anyway, I'm not asking you because I know what you writers are. You'll be talking shop all the time and poor Katie and I'll not understand a word of it. As for you, Mr. Curtis, dear, I want you all to myself when you come. Oh, you've no idea how he helps us, Mr. Shawfield. He knows so much about animals.
Oh, how kind of you. Actually, I once studied to be a vet, but I fear my knowledge is sadly rusty.
Of course it isn't, you silly man. But now, Mr. Shawfield, so fascinating our meeting like this. I don't think these things are coincidences, do you? I think they're meant. After all, I've been a fan of yours for ages.
Indeed. I must say, it's interesting to meet people who've really read one's books. Most of them just flip over the pages so that they can say the right things. You must have noticed this, Kate.
No, I can't say I have.
Haven't you?
Once or twice I nearly wrote to you, but I didn't quite have the nerve. That second book of yours, A Lion Among the Ladies, haunted me for a long time. Do you remember, Kate? Oh, but I'm afraid my little daughter prefers thrillers.
Oh, come, Kate. Surely you remember.
I didn't realize I was saying anything funny, Kate.
Oh, of course not, Mummy.
Oh, well, never mind. If you want to laugh at your poor old mother, why not? But now, Mr. Shawfield, you'll come tomorrow, won't you?
I will indeed. I shall look forward to it.
Well, then, that's settled. Oh, Mr. Curtis, dear, do go on with the carving. You all look so hungry.
Well, if you're sure you don't mind.
How clever of you to know how to carve. He's definitely here, you know.
Oh, Mummy, please.
The murderer, I mean. He's been seen in the glen, actually seen. Please don't let me disturb your meal, only I thought you'd like to know.
I'm not hungry.
They have a description of him, you know. Apparently, he's got a scar.
A scar?
Yes. Oh, it's so terrible. A creature like that is no better than a wild beast. Oh, he's mad, of course. No sane person could cut up his wife. Well, I've disturbed you more than enough. Come on, Kate, darling. We must tidy up our little home before the famous Mr. Shawfield sees it, mustn't we? Would you think me very forward if I called you John?
It would be a privilege. I hope, Kate, you will do the same. It sounds so much more friendly.
Oh, I don't think she'd dare. Kate is very shy, aren't you, darling? Well, we must go. Bye just now. Tomorrow at 4, Johnny.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Oh, Mr. Curtis, anything wrong?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I'm not feeling very well.
Oh, can I do anything?
No. No, I'll go upstairs and rest a little.
That woman's a damn show-off.
Is she?
Oh, you wait till tomorrow. You'll get a magnificent tea and you'll see your books in the case at the far end. Not near enough to be obtrusive, but where you can't miss him. She did the same to me.
Best of luck to her.
Oh, you would say that. I'm going to tell you something.
Every time you tell me something, you create an earthquake. What is it now?
I've decided. I'm going to marry her daughter.
Oh, have you informed Kate of your decision?
It's none of your business. I don't know why I'm telling you any of this. For all I know, you might be this murderer.
I could say the same of you.
You've got that kind of face.
Is there a murderer's face? As it happens, my wife, my ex-wife, is very much alive.
If you knew what you looked like when you said that, one day you'll do a murder yourself.
Perhaps I will. You better be careful, MacDonald. There are other victims than wives. What was this you were saying about marrying the girl?
Oh, Kate. I think it's time she settled down. I need someone to look after me. She'll never have a name in lights, but she's a good girl. I fancy she'd marry anyone to get away from that mother of hers.
You think she'd be any better off with you?
What the hell do you mean by that? I'd give her my name and a home. She'd have married status. That's all women ever want. She'd be very well off with me. After all, let's face it, she's pretty plain. We can't all look like Sylvia Court, can we? I warn you, if you hit me, I'll summons you.
Oh, for pity's sake, I was merely going to light a cigarette. But I do find it a bit distasteful that you should speak like this of your prospective wife. After all, she's a person in her own right.
I'll tell you something.
I'll hold on to the tablecloth.
We're all together, aren't we? Getting on each other's nerves like fun. And now it's going to snow.
So your intended warned me.
And when it does, anything might happen. Anything.
How jolly.
The murderer will have to come out, for one thing. He'd freeze to death in Ossian's cave. And the Glen's a queer place, you know. Ghosts aren't the only kind of haunting. And you, being what you are...
What the hell am I?
I'm going to show you something. Wait a minute.
Oh, what now?
Look. How do you like that, Mr. Shawfield?
What's the point of all this drama? All right, it's a pistol. Am I to take this as a challenge to a duel or something?
I see you handle it as to the manner born.
It looks very old.
300 years old. A real Highland pistol. They call it over and under because one barrel is laid over the other. There's only one lock and hammer required because the second barrel can be turned round by hand. Here. After the first has been fired. It's a nice job. I should go easy with it if I were you. It's loaded. Both barrels.
Do you mean to tell me that you leave a loaded weapon lying around like that in a drawer which isn't even locked? This thing would go off at the slightest pressure. You must be out of your mind.
It's mine. I do what I like with it. I'm not being dictated to by you. For all your right bestsellers.
Oh, damn my bestsellers. Anyone would think they were a crime. Mr. Curtis, are you feeling better?
What's that?
Oh, it's all right. We've decided to use swords instead.
This is something that has killed.
It has indeed. Ask Mr. Shawfield.
Oh, do please put it away. I can't bear to look at it. It's wicked. It's done murder.
Put it away, you imbecile.
Oh, all right.
Nowadays, they laugh at killing. I fear we've lost all sense of decency. We even sacrifice animals in the name of science. I don't like having a weapon lying about the house. It puts ideas into people's heads.
It's all right, sir. Don't distress yourself. MacDonald isn't going to leave it here.
I am. Why shouldn't I?
I tell you what we're going to do, MacDonald. We're going to take a nice walk together. I think we both need some fresh air.
I don't need any fresh air.
Oh, yes, you do, before it snows. We're going to leave you in peace, Mr. Curtis. You can take a nice little nap.
What is all this? I don't want to walk with you.
Well, you are walking with me. Serves you right for baiting that poor little creature.
It's a pity you don't mind your own business.
Okay, okay. Oh, God, it's cold. Can't you smell the snow? Ah, that poor devil. This is no place for a murderer on the run.
Tell me about the massacre, MacDonald. I'm in the mood. Wasn't it this kind of weather when it happened? Why, here's old McKeon himself to give local color. Hey, boy! Ah, it appears he's not feeling sociable.
A revolting slob of an animal. He ought to be sent to the Necker's Yard.
Would you murder your own clansman? What about my history lesson? I'm beginning to believe you know nothing about the massacre at all.
I know it by heart. So should you, Mr. Shawfield. I wonder you can face the ghosts, you murderer.
There are other ghosts. There's Violet, for instance. Don't forget Violet.
And you call me mad. Who the blazes is Violet? Is she somebody here?
She is a little dispersed, but she's here all right. She's here.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. But I'll tell you of ghosts. The Master of Stair. You'll have heard of him. He ordered the massacre. I hope the soldiers will not trouble the government with prisoners. That's what he said. He wanted them killed. Women, children, and all.
A little dispersed. Her hands here, her feet there. I wonder if he sees her still on the slopes of Anachdub.
It was down these slopes that they fled, naked and screaming in a blizzard. The sky was red with her cottages going up in flames. They shot the old man from behind. They stripped his wife and tore the rings from her fingers with her teeth. It was bloody murder.
This was bloody murder, too.
When it was all over, the Campbells played a tune on the pipes from Loch Leven Shore. The Glen is mine. That's what the tune was called. The MacDonalds were dead. There was nothing left of them.
There was nothing much left of Violet either. Poor Violet. It might so easily have been poor Sylvia. I nearly throttled her once. Only... Ah, well, I didn't. If I had, it would be me in Ossian's cave. Perhaps it might be even now.
Well, now you know all about it. And now you know why I call you a murderer, Mr. Campbell of Shawfield.
What do you say? What?
Oh, my God, you look it.
What an ass you are. I'm no murderer.
I saw you handle that pistol. It belonged to your ancestor. He murdered mine, John MacDonald of Artriochan.
When did all this take place?
1692 in the month of February.
Well, it's now 1965, the month of January. And I'm going to chuck that pistol away the moment I'm back. Oh, let's stop this nonsense. Tell me about this precious book of yours. When's it coming out? I think you ought to dedicate it to me.
You and your bestsellers! I don't want to talk to you anymore. I wish you'd never come.
Are we all mad? My bestsellers. You couldn't even leave me that, Sylvia, could you?
Well, now, I hope you had a nice walk, Mr. Shawfield. Oh, are you looking for something in that drawer? There's nothing there. It's empty.
Yes, it's empty.
Oh, is anything wrong? You look quite strange.
No, nothing's wrong. Well, you must give me some idea of my route. Tomorrow I go to Etive Farm. Kate! What on earth are you doing here in the middle of the road? And what's all this furniture? Oh, do you have to move house in the snow? Oh, my dear girl, what has happened?
We've been evicted.
Oh.
It's all Mummy's fault. Oh, what am I to do? What am I to do?
I don't know what the hell this is all about, but I do know it's pretty well a blizzard and cold as charity. You can't stay here. You'll freeze to death. You're coming straight back to the hotel with me. So that you can get those sopping clothes off. And I shall give you a large brandy, whether you like it or not. Oh. You can pretend it's medicinal. Come along at once.
Yes, but these things, they've been ruined. Oh. My piano.
A piano? In the parts of Glencoe? Does it still play? Ah, never mind. Clan Diarmid's dead and Clan Donald too. Girl, are you coming or aren't you?
Well, I can't just leave everything here.
You can and you will.
Mummy won't be dreadfully upset.
Well, I'm dreadfully upset too. There was I dreaming of hot scones and a blazing fire. The next time you ask a poor London chap to tea, you might plan the weather better. Oh, Kate, come on. For pity's sake, you're the most idiotic, pig-headed girl I've ever met.
I trouble you not to speak to me like that, Mr. Shawfield.
Bah!
Oh, really? Mr. Shawfield! Mr. Shawfield! Put me down this instant! I won't be casted around like a baby!
In a moment, I'll sling you over my shoulders like a sack of potatoes. Oh. In fact, if you go on like this, Miss Stewart, I shall smack you, which will be very undignified, and create a certain amount of tension at our future meeting.
There is not the least need to shout at me, Mr. Shawfield. I do not like it. I am quite prepared to go to the hotel. If you kindly put me down like
this incense.
It's a pleasure, Miss Stewart.
Do ask me again, won't you? You must both have tea with me sometime in Ossian's cave. Now, that's better. Here, I'll take that case. Now, for God's sake, walk as fast as you can. This is as bad as the night of the massacre.
Oh, it was worse than this.
Anyway, the massacre is something I should prefer to forget. It's nothing to do with me. Only I must admit, MacDonald has quite a gift for evoking the past. His book should be really impressive.
Oh, he doesn't really write at all, you know.
What?
Oh.
Now, look, I'm not being familiar. I'm only holding you to warm you a little.
Oh, I don't mind.
My poor lamb, you're frozen. Perhaps I should have slapped you after all as a remedial measure.
Oh, well, I don't think that you should speak to me like that. I am 25, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. What were you saying about MacDonald?
Oh, well, I thought you knew. He means to write the book, of course, but he'll never really get down to it. He's a failure, you know, like me.
Like you?
Oh, yes. He's always making a mess of things, even as a school teacher. That's what he is, you know. Oh, he's really quite nice under all the nonsense. He wants to marry me. He thinks I'd look after him while he writes.
And are you going to marry him?
I don't think so. Oh, it would be such a responsibility.
I'm not sure if you should let yourself be so devoured by passion, Kate.
Why are you laughing at me? Have I said something funny?
No, of course not.
Well, I did consider it, of course. I've always been scared of not marrying.
There's no earthly reason why you shouldn't get married. Now, marriage isn't all it's cracked up to be. But if you're so frightened about it, you could always take up a cause. You'd do it very well, red hair flying and all. In fact, I think you'd be quite terrifying.
Oh, do you think so? Then what cause would you suggest, Mr. Shawfield?
Oh, I wouldn't dare commit myself. Oh, we're nearly home. Shall I pick you up and run for it? My legs are much longer than yours.
No, thank you. I do hope you won't catch cold, Mr. Shawfield. You must take a good tot of whiskey when you go to bed and get Mrs. Forbes to give you a hot water bottle.
You are the most extraordinary girl. You know, you haven't told me what all this is about yet. And where's your mother? Did she forget she'd asked me round?
Well, you see, we knew they were going to evict us. They said we didn't manage the farm properly. Mummy's never taken it seriously, but when the final note came, she got frightened and went out, thinking that they couldn't do anything, that she wasn't there. Only, didn't make any difference. They just took everything out and dumped it by the roadside.
And what about your mother?
Oh, I expect she's gone to Edinburgh.
What the blazes do you mean?
We have cousins there.
I don't find that an adequate answer.
Well, what was there for her to do? She doesn't get on very well with Mrs. Forbes, you know. She probably parked her bicycle somewhere and got a lift to Oban. Oh, I'll hear from her in a day or so.
You tell me your mother leaves you to cope and waltzes off to Edinburgh. I hope she sinks in a 10-foot drift and freezes stiff. She should be shot.
Really, Mr. Shawfield? I am quite capable of coping with the situation.
Oh, sure. When I saw you this afternoon, I was amazed by the way you had everything under control, down to the bottom C of the piano.
Oh, shut up. Oh. Oh, there was such a lovely tea for you too. Beautiful cake. I made it myself, Mr. Shawfield. Oh, Mr. Shawfield, put me down. Put me, I won't have
it. I'm not putting you down. I'm getting you back as soon as I can. Look, we're home. Stop crying, my darling silly girl.
Ian is watching you from the doorway. Huh? He looks like a new massacre.
You should speak more respectfully of the Glen. Shouldn't she, MacDonald? Shouldn't she, boy?
Shouldn't she what? What's happened? Why are you carrying her? Is she hurt?
Hurt? Oh, Kate? Never. Here. Take her.
No, be tossed about between the pair of you. What do you think I am, a tennis ball? Don't put me down. Oh, Mrs. Forbes. Oh, I'm terribly sorry to land myself on you like this. Possibly dreadful things happen. We've been evicted and I simply know where to go.
Close the door, McDonald. By the way, what happened to your precious pistol?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The pistol, MacDonald. The pistol I shot you with 300 years ago. The pistol I may be shooting you with any moment now. Look, all I want to know is, did you take that pistol away yesterday?
I don't see what business is it of yours. But I took it up to my room half an hour ago. What were you carrying Kate in your arms for?
Oh, having just sacked the farm, I thought I might as well do things properly, so I ravished her as well. Will you let me pass, please? You may enjoy chatting in an icy hallway, but I want to go into the sitting room and warm up a bit. Oh, may I join you, Mr. Curtis?
Mrs. Forbes says we won't be able to get out at all. Oh. You don't think the snow's as bad as that, do you?
Gosh, I'm cold. Oh, bless Mrs. Forbes for this glorious fire. What? Oh, I don't know. It's really coming down with a vengeance now.
But I must get out tomorrow. I simply can't stay in all day. It's bad for me. I've not been well, you know. The doctor said it was essential I should have fresh air.
Ah, Lord knows it's fresh enough. My dear chap, I don't like being cooped up any more than you do. In any case, I want to get down to Ballahoolish tomorrow, see about Kate's belongings. She's been evicted into the snow, you know. And frankly, I don't think any of us will get out if it goes on like this.
But I must...
Mind you, I do understand how you feel. We're not exactly a coordinated group. If you feel you simply can't stand us, why don't you stay in your room? I'm sure Mrs. Forbes wouldn't mind. I know what the need for privacy is, God knows.
Do you?
Oh, yes, I had a wife once, you know.
And wouldn't she leave you alone?
Not for a minute, not even to write. I don't know why I'm telling you all this. You stay in your room, Mr. Curtis. Walls are good 18th century workmanship. You won't hear us brawling downstairs.
It might thaw tomorrow.
It might.
I must get out. You don't understand. I must. That pistol.
Oh, now, don't worry about that. McDonald's taken it away. And high time, too. Well, I'm going to get myself a drink. I think I've earned it. Would you like something?
Oh, no, thank you. It's very kind of you, but alcohol doesn't suit my constitution.
Suits mine.
There now.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Forbes. I needed that. Oh, how's our Kate?
Ah, she's all right. She's had a hot bath and a good drop of brandy. I lent her my dressing gown and put her by my sitting room fire. Oh. Fancy Mrs. Stewart leaving the poor lassie in the snow and going to Edinburgh.
Yeah.
I could wring that woman's neck. Things were different before Mr. Stewart left her.
Oh, of course. Her husband.
Aye, he couldn't take it. He's married someone else now. The poor lassie's never been the same since. Not that Mrs. Stewart would care. She always used her as a kind of servant and keeps on telling her how plain she is. If she was lying dead in the snow this very minute, I'd not care.
Perhaps she is.
No, you'll have a refill.
Oh, Mrs. Forbes, you're making a lush out of me.
Oh, no.
Well,
no.
Why not? It's one hell of a night.
Mr. Shawfield.
Hmm? Cheers.
I was thinking maybe you'd go up and have a word with Kate. I know she'd like to see you. She wants to thank you.
There was nothing to thank me for. Of course I'll go.
Oh. And you won't mind the dressing gown?
I think I could survive it. I was warned about your dressing gown, Kate. You look rather sweet in it, actually. Well, it is a bit on the large side. How are you feeling?
I made a horrid scene, didn't I? Poor Mr. Shawfield. Have you had a drink?
Yeah, I have indeed. I believe I'm a little drunk.
It'll do you good.
Oh, Kate, I don't think you should look after everyone like this. Simply means that people take advantage of you. I take advantage of you myself.
Yes, you ravish me, don't you?
I
heard you say that.
Oh, Kate, I'm most sincerely sorry. I think McDonald brings out the worst in me. Well, that doesn't make it any better. Please, try to forgive me.
Oh, I don't really mind. I was a little surprised, that's all.
Oh, what a nice girl you are. Thank God you're here. Looks as if we're going to be snowbound. It's just as well there'll be one civilized person among us.
No, I'm not as civilized as all that.
What do you mean?
It doesn't matter. You'd better go. Oh. You should have a good hot meal.
Well, there you go again.
Only I wonder if you would kiss me goodnight before you go.
Yeah, of course.
Well, I know I shouldn't ask you.
I was going to do it in any case, whether you asked me or not.
Oh, no, you weren't. It's nice of you to say so, though, but... Oh, I know I'm embarrassing you.
Oh, for God's sake, come here. Come here, you idiotic girl.
Mr. Shawfield.
Mr. Shawfield. Kate. Silly, nice little Kate. Why don't you relax now?
You're hurting relax. Me.
Well, you asked for it, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I did, didn't I? Well, you better get down to your dinner now. And don't forget your aspirin.
No.
Good night, Mr. Shawfield. Oh. Well, you'll not be going far this morning, gentlemen. There are 6-foot drifts outside. Hughie's just sunk in one up to his ears, the daft creature. Well, I do hope it clears by tomorrow, because if it does, there's a little treat for you.
Oh, and what's that, Mrs. Forbes?
Oh, there's the cinema at Kinlochleven. It comes round to all the villages once a fortnight. Oh, perhaps you could drive them down, Mr. Curtis.
Oh, I fear I'm not one for the films. Oh. But, of course, my car is entirely at the disposal of anyone who wants to go.
Ah, well, then, Mr. Shawfield and Mr. MacDonald can take Miss Stewart down. Oh, Kate, we were just talking about you. I was saying you must all go to the cinema tomorrow.
Good morning. Well, yes, I should like that.
No, I've no time for such things. I have my book to get on with. Besides, I'd only be intruding.
And what makes you say that, Ian?
Yes, what makes you say that, Ian? It's a very interesting remark. We should all be delighted to hear your explanation.
It's falling very heavily.
It's really quite blinding.
One can only hope, can't one? Well, just clear away the breakfast things.
I'll help you, Mrs.
No, Fox. No, dear. No, you just rest a while.
Well, one can only hope, can't one?
I wouldn't want to spoil your fun. It's a case of two's company, no doubt. I don't like playing gooseberry.
Perhaps you would care to enlarge on these odd statements.
I really believe it's not quite so heavy.
I know your kind. If I've read the newspapers, too. I know all about really you and your precious wife. And now you honor us with your presence, the dashing Mr. Shawfield. And naturally you make a pass at any girl you see. Your sword would seduce your own grandmother, given half an opportunity.
Right!
Please, Mr. Shawfield. I'll deal with this. Now... Yeah. What is the matter with you, Ian? Mr. Shawfield's never made a pass at me.
He was going to hit me.
Well, I'm not surprised. I think you ought to apologize.
You better hold your hand out, MacDonald. Or should I call you Ian?
You are being silly too, Mr. Shawfield. Really, I've no patience with either of you.
Oh, I can see when I'm not wanted.
Looks as if you and I'll be going to the cinema alone.
Well, that'll be very nice. Ian is very highly strung.
He'll be strung a good deal higher if he goes on like this.
Oh, surely you're big enough not to mind what he says. He's so unhappy and mixed up. But anyway, knocking people down doesn't do any good.
Thanks for the sermon.
I didn't mean to... Well, I must go and help Mrs. Forbes.
She said she didn't need it. Talk to me instead.
Well, I don't see what there is to talk about.
Kate...
What is it?
Don't look so frightened.
I'm not.
I'm not going to say anything rude or unpleasant. I know I've been both to you. I'm sorry. And MacDonald was perfectly right. I'm just the mess he said I am. I'm not sure if I'll ever be anything else. Not as long as my wife sticks in my memory. And then I meet someone like you. And you're sweet, Kate.
Ooh.
But you are. Only I'm not the sort of person for you. When I kissed you last night...
I asked you to kiss me. Don't you remember, Mr. Shawfield?
Oh, damn your eyes for an exact and pedantic little prig. All right, then. Now, I am asking you to kiss me.
No.
Have it your own way. I'm just nothing now. You mustn't bother about me anymore.
Shall I tell you what I think?
If you must...
I think you're lying.
Oh, you do, do you?
Yes. Oh, I knew exactly why you walked out on me like that last night. You thought, oh, dear,
Now she's going to hang around my neck. She seems such a nice, sensible girl, and now she's just going to be a nuisance. You didn't find me really attractive, you see. Men never have scruples about attractive women. But I knew you'd say something dramatic like this. All writers like drama.
That would serve you damn well right if I took hold of you this very instant and gave you a practical demonstration of the facts of life.
I suppose it would. But it would be rather awkward for you now, wouldn't it, if I fell into your arms?
Would you care to try?
Anyway, I'm not as ignorant as you always seem to think.
Would you like to come here a moment?
No, I wouldn't. Oh, I'm sorry. I've spoiled all your grand scene. Only, I wish I hadn't come here. I wish I'd never met you.
Never mind, Kate. Tomorrow evening we'll go to the cinema and behave like civilized human beings. I think it'll do us both a lot of good.
I suppose it will take our mind off things.
What things? Well, Kate...
Do you play cards, Mr. Schofield?
Why? Are you suggesting we settle down to a nice, quiet game of cutthroat?
And perhaps it's not a very good idea.
No, I don't think it is, really. But it's no reason for me to go on cutting your throat. I apologize, Kate, for being an absolute so-and-so. Why are you frightened?
I keep thinking of the murderer.
So do I.
It's as if he's forcing his thoughts on us, making us all think of dreadful things.
Yes, yes.
We're all ordinary people, aren't we? Ian's really quite sensible when you get him on his own, and, well, Mr. Curtis is just a nice, respectable little man who probably goes to work every day in a bowler hat with a rolled umbrella.
Well, that should certainly liven up the city.
Ah, you're laughing at me again.
You should be glad. It means you're exercising my demons for me. Of course, you're perfectly right, as you always are. It is frightening, my darling. And we are all behaving like lunatics. Well, where are you going? Are you leaving me? Don't go.
Oh, I must go and help Mrs. Forbes with the dinner. There, now I'm afraid it's just you and Mr. MacDonald today. Kate is eating with me, and poor Mr. Curtis is having his meal upstairs.
He doesn't look at all well.
Oh, I hope he's not sickening for something. It's very worrying. However, I must leave you two gentlemen to your meal.
I'll thank you to lay off that girl. Did you hear what I said?
I did.
Look, I've known Kate for some time. She's a good girl. I'm going to marry her.
So you've already notified me.
And you come along. Of course, you've all the tricks of the trade. You turn on the charm, no
doubt. Oh, don't you think this is all a little unnecessary? What is the matter with you, man? You always assume that I'm hell-bent on seducing your Kate when I assure you nothing is further from my mind.
She thinks she's in love with you.
Nonsense. You're insulting her. She's not the kind to make flirty eyes at everything in trousers. If you want to marry her, that's okay with me. But do some courting instead of shrieking abuse at me. Talk some sense for once. Why don't you tell me about your book?
What a filthy, abominable swine you are. You talk of courting. You weren't so successful in your own, were you?
Wasn't I?
I suppose it just doesn't matter to you. That little chap outside has more guts than you. He killed her. He chopped her up. But I don't suppose you even mind all that muck in the papers. It's just more material for your cheap jack nubbles.
Suppose it is. Well, I'm going for a walk. I'll leave you to do your courting. I must admit that the thought of you as a wooer seems rather like Huey in tights doing a tap dance. But Kate is a very compassionate girl.
Pretentious swine. Kate! Kate! Come here a moment. I want to talk to you.
I thought you were up in your room, Mr. Curtis. I really don't think you ought to be out in this weather. I know it stopped snowing, but it's bitterly cold.
Yes, I'm well wrapped up.
Are you looking for something, sir?
Why should I be?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were ferreting around with your stick. But of course, it's a damn silly question. You couldn't find a house in all this snow.
I'm just taking a little constitutional.
Hardly the weather for it. I wonder if they've caught the murderer yet.
Well, of course not.
Of course? With half the shire looking for him? Actually, I've developed a theory about him.
And what is that?
I don't think he's shut out at all. I think he's shut in. And the best of luck to him, poor devil. Oh, was that Huey over there?
No.
You looked over your shoulder. I saw him wandering about a few minutes ago.
I wish you wouldn't keep on asking me questions.
I beg your pardon. I didn't mean to.
Well, it's really very irritating. It worries me. I don't like silly questions. I do hope it's a nice, jolly film tomorrow. I'm sure Miss Stewart will enjoy it. She's such a charming lady, I always think.
Yes, she is, isn't she?
She's kind. It's a quality one doesn't often meet in the modern generation. I've often watched her with Huey. I always feel the way people behave with animals is very revealing. I can't abide cruelty to animals.
Shouldn't you come in now, sir? I'm sure Mrs. Forbes has a good fire waiting for us.
Do stop bothering me. I like the fresh air, I tell you.
All right, all right. I don't. Not when it's as fresh as this. I'm going back to the lounge.
Ian, do stop pawing me about like this. I don't want to kiss you. I've already said a dozen times that I'm not going to marry you. Thank you very much.
And I suppose you want to remain an old maid.
I do wish you'd be sensible. Why don't you listen? You just go on from where you left off without paying the faintest attention to what I've been saying. I've said no, and I mean no, and...
Oh. I'm so sorry. Am I intruding?
This is too much. You did this on purpose. You're spying on us.
Oh, dear.
I didn't mean to gate crash a crisis. I'm honestly sorry. I'm afraid I ruined his kiss.
Do you think I'd let a great big Jesse like that kiss me?
Let me help you pick up those magazines. MacDonald seems to do his courting as he does everything else. Like a car with a steering gone.
Why are you always so beastly about him? He said you'd been terribly rude to him.
We all come to you for comfort, you see. I'm here for comfort myself.
Comfort? A shoulder to weep on, I know. No, oh, it always makes me laugh when I read those magazine stories about strong, silent heroes taking the little woman into their manly arms. The poor creature ought to know that in a wee while she'll be reeling under the full 16 stone of him, patting his shoulder and drying his tears.
I don't know why you're complaining. Before you know where you are, Mr. Curtis will be asking you to partake of his couch and condiments.
I don't find that in the least bit funny.
Oh, I don't seem to be very popular this evening. Come and have a drink with me. Let's go to pieces. Well, Tippy, see you drink your whiskey like a good Scots girl.
After all, Mr. Shawfield, I am precisely that.
I want to talk to you.
And I should like to listen.
A shoulder to weep on. Though I don't weigh 16 stone. I want to kiss you.
No.
Why not?
Just no. Tell me about it instead.
Oh, I suspect you're well used to people telling you things.
Oh, I always give excellent advice. But only for others, not for myself. It's your wife, isn't it? You're really still in love with her.
In love? Girl, I hate her. I want to murder her. I want to cut her into tiny pieces so that nothing remains.
Do you think that would lay her ghost?
You're a clever girl. I don't know. Only Lionel could answer that.
Lionel?
Murderer.
Oh, I forgot that was his name. I've been thinking about him so much. I don't know him, but I do know that by destroying her, he's destroyed himself.
Do you mean that?
I'm sure of it. I think murder leaves a shadow. It's like this glen where murder has sunk deep into the soil.
That's the voice of whiskey, my love.
Perhaps it's the voice of Lionel. Don't add yours to it. Was your wife so terrible?
She had to destroy too. Even my power to write. And if I can't write, Kate, I'm lost and damned. But you, my darling, you'd never understand this. I don't suppose you've ever hated in your kind little life.
Oh, yes, I have. I love my father very much, Mr. Shawfield. She drove him away. No man could endure the life she led him. I think if he'd stayed, I should be different. I shouldn't be such a thrawn, crabbed old mate.
Oh, I'm talking too much. I'm being silly again.
You're all right, girl. Don't go away. Let me hold you.
I really must go up to bed. I do believe I'm a little tipsy. Whatever will Mrs. Forbes think?
Kate.
Oh, I've bothered you quite enough for one night. You needn't worry. I won't hang about your neck, I promise. Good night, Mr. Schofield.
Kate.
I want someone to talk to. I must have someone to talk to. Huey! My boy, Huey! Where are you, huh? Ah, damn the horse. He's never there when he's wanted. My God, what's that? Lionel. It's all right, man. She's dead, isn't she? Come in and talk to me. After all, we're all of us murderers. Lionel! 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 Mrs. Forbes!
Oh, I can't hear a thing through this. There, now, what did you say, Mr. Shawfield?
I just wondered, did you hear anything last night?
What do you mean?
Like someone crying.
Oh, I sleep very heavily. He's still in the papers, but they don't think he's hiding out now. They think he's in a hotel. Someone saw him at Ballahulish. It's that scar, you know. It's on his wrist. They think it may be where the knife slipped. They never found the weapon, you know.
London has a deep and wide river, Mrs. Forbes.
Oh, well, it's nothing to do with us, is it? Oh, I hear Mr. Curtis is lending you his car.
Mm.
Oh, what a blessing it is. It's thawing. You'll need to start about 6 tonight.
How pretty you look, Kate. You should always use lipstick.
Mrs. Forbes lends it to me. I hope I've not put on too much. Mummy would be very cross with me.
No comment. Let the old lady enjoy herself in Edinburgh. We're going to enjoy our cinema. Ah, you look really nice. I like the hairstyle, too.
Thank you, Mr. Shawfield.
Kate.
Yes, Mr. Shawfield.
I thought as much. This is deliberate impertinence. All right, my girl. Either you call me by my proper name, or I turn this car around, go back to the hotel, carry you up to bed, and go to the pictures on my own. Well, would you like to put it to the test?
No, John.
I should think so.
What happened?
I just want to celebrate this unprecedented occasion.
Oh, John, please, please.
Okay.
You're not being fair. Now, why must you spoil a nice evening?
For pity's sake, I was only going to give you a nice, friendly kiss.
Oh.
Kate. Oh! Damn!
Oh, now, what is it? Oh, you've hurt yourself. Your wrist's bleeding.
What the hell does he keep down the car seat? Looks like a razor blade.
Oh, now, I'll bind it for you. It's not a deep cut. It'll stop bleeding in a moment.
No, it's nothing. Don't fuss me. I'm sorry I made such an ass of myself. Will you just try to forget it? Your guardian angel is obviously trained in commando tactics. Accept my apologies, please.
Are you sure you feel all right?
I'm fine. Why not? After all, I now share the same distinguishing mark as the murderer. Well, where do we go from here? I don't know the way to Kinloch, do you?
Straight on. And then to the right.
I didn't think we'd get that classical. Quite a coincidence, wasn't it? That it should have been one of Sylvia's films. Did you enjoy it, darling?
It was very nice.
Should we drive somewhere and get a drink?
No, thank you.
You sure?
Yes, thanks.
Oh, all right, then I'll drive you home. What did you think of my wife?
Oh, she's very lovely.
It's all rather amusing, actually. Well, it is funny, don't you think so? Oh, for God's sake, I must say you're not the most enlivening of companions. If I had the radio on, perhaps it'll wake you up a bit. What the hell do you think you're doing? Did Mummy never tell you not to grab at a driver's arm, especially on a slippery mountain road? You might have killed the pair of us.
Johnny, I know you hated her. I know she's hurt you dreadfully, but leave her be now. She doesn't matter. She can't touch you anymore. She'll get what she deserves in the end.
She will indeed.
Oh, please, Johnny, Johnny, listen. Please, you must listen. It was wicked that it should be that, Phil. And I wish I'd known, but does it really matter so much to you? That part of your life is over and done with. You need never see her again.
I have to see her again.
No, 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 please. Let her go to the devil any way she pleases.
I'm surprised at you, Kate. What would your grandfather say?
Oh, are you going to ruin your life for her? You fool. Can't you see that is what she wants you to do?
What do you mean by that, Kate? I should like an answer. We're not moving till I get one.
All right. I'll answer. I think you're planning to kill her. You're going tonight, Johnny. I know you are.
All right. If you have to know, I am going tonight. I had a letter this morning from my solicitors.
Oh, there's been no postman today.
I put a call through this morning.
There is no telephone. And you said it was a letter.
Oh, you're driving me mad with all this insanity. Serve you right if I put you out of the car and made you walk home.
You are going to kill her. I know it.
You win. I'm going to see her anyway. Only I don't know if I'm going to kill her. Oh, don't be frightened, Kate. There's no need. I'll try not to do anything silly.
Johnny. Johnny, you're not to go.
I have to.
I'll go for you. I'll give her any message you want.
Oh, my darling idiot. She'd eat you alive.
Oh, I'm not afraid of her. I can sort her, all right. You don't know me, Johnny. You don't know me at all.
I'm beginning to see that. But I have to go, Kate. I can't explain exactly why, even to myself. It's as if there's something in this confounded glen that's pushing me on.
It's your novels, Johnny. I know you're right again. I'll make you right again. Oh, Johnny, if it would help you, I'll do anything you want, Johnny. Anything. I love you. I'd give up the whole wide world to stop you going. I'm not as silly as I used to be. If you want me to...
What? Oh, Kate. Oh, my dear, dear girl. Thank you, Kate. I'll never forget that. But I wouldn't want it to be like that for you. You deserve better. Dear Kate, I'll be honest with you. I have to go to London. But what'll happen when I get there, I don't know. I don't know anything anymore. Come, darling. We must go. Long after midnight, we'll have the elders of the kirk talking. What a good thing Hugh is here to chaperone you.
He's away to the village.
Goodbye, Kate. I'll leave Mr. Curtis's car out for the night. Snow's melting fast. It won't come to any harm.
Johnny! Johnny! There must be an end to it. Even here in Glencoe. I could do far more for you than she could. She can only destroy. Stay with me. Why won't you trust me?
Oh, not that. I do trust you. And it's not that.
Goodbye, Kate.
I'll be waiting for you when you come back.
Damnation, what's that? Oh, this is just about the last straw. What the hell are you doing out at this hour in the morning, MacDonald? And is this confounded bicycle yours? Left, please. presumably to trip me up.
I've been waiting for
you.
Oh,
go back to bed, you confounded idiot, and take your bike with you.
Oh, no, you don't get away with it like that. You murderous Campbell.
Look here, MacDonald. I've had just as much as I can take. Let me tell you once and for all that I am not a Campbell. I never was a Campbell. And I'm never, thank God, likely to be a Campbell.
Of course. Seducing a nice girl like that means nothing to you.
And what do you mean by that?
The cinema ended at 10:30. It didn't take you 2 hours to drive back, did it?
Oh, will you get out of my road? I've got to get to Ballachulish. You neurotic little moonshiner, you're mad. You've got Campbells on the brain.
You're not going to get away with this. I heard her go to her room and cry her heart out for what you'd done to her. She was still crying when I left. Oh, but you wouldn't care. You just take what you want and the hell with it.
You're muddling up your times a bit, aren't you? I am not one of your wenching gallants of 3 centuries. What's that in your pocket? Put that away, you idiot. You want to commit a murder? It's a hair trigger. Oh, for God's sake, you are mad.
Don't you like my pistol, Shawfield? Perhaps you prefer to be at the other end of it.
Put that down! Get up, you damn fool. Well, you don't expect me to help you, do you? I must say, I never thought I'd owe my life to a bicycle. I'll take that pistol from you, thank you very much. So both barrels have been fired. Oh, stop that stupid noise, you infernal lunatic. Whose bicycle is this?
Mrs. Stewart's.
I might have guessed. So the murderer was locked in after all. Come on. Get up, you nutcase. You're going to help me. I want to shove away some of this snow.
I can't.
If you don't, I'll bury you in it, so help me. Oh, come on, man. Pull yourself together. Not to leave lethal weapons about. Come along, we better get back. We've made enough asses of ourselves to create a new massacre.
You can't leave that poor lady lying there.
Can you imagine either of us is in any state to carry her? Besides, the police will have to be notified. She's dead. I can't feel any more for the dead. It's time I concentrated on the living. Only, I want to tell you this, MacDonald. You keep on calling me Campbell of Shawfield. Well, as it happens, my grandfather was a Jew. He came from Hamburg, and his name was Schoenfeld. He changed it to Shawfield. He thought it sounded prettier. We've never shouted Kruachen. Our war chant is, oi vai, oi vai.
Oh, all right. Oh, stop dragging at me.
This is the hotel, isn't it? Oh, I want to go to bed. Leave me alone.
I have every intention of leaving you alone. Ah, just one more thing. You are not to say a word of this to Kate. She'll know in the morning. It's soon enough. There's something I've got to do. But when I've finished, I'm going in to say goodnight to Kate. Any objection?
Oh, have it your own way.
What are you rummaging in Curtis's car for?
Death.
Suppose you think that makes sense. Where are you going?
I'm going to see Mr. Curtis.
What you want?
I have 2 things to show you, Mr. Curtis. One, a 17th century pistol. And this.
That's my surgical knife.
Yes.
I don't like lethal weapons. Why do you bring these horrid things into my room? Take them away at once.
One is lethal no longer. Both barrels have been fired. Why did you have to kill Mrs. Stewart? I suppose you couldn't find her body in the snow. I wondered what you were looking for all the time. She was well buried. You wouldn't have found her till the thaw. But it's all up, you know.
And what do you mean by that?
Oh, for pity's sake, man, of course it's all up. The police will be here tomorrow. They have your description. Even if this hadn't happened, it would only have been a question of time. They got your scar wrong, sir, didn't they? I see it's on the pad of your thumb, not on your wrist at all. I suppose the knife slipped.
I don't care for these personal remarks.
You talk as if nothing had happened. Even if I were prepared to connive at your escape, how on earth do you think you could get away?
I fear you underestimate my intelligence.
You haven't answered me.
Why did you kill her? Why? Didn't you see it took away your last chance of escape?
And of course I killed her. She knew about my scar. I couldn't possibly let her live. She was cycling down the road and I shot her. She was cruel. She let her cattle die of starvation. I've no patience with people who ill-use dumb animals. It's wicked, vile. We had such a lovely cat. He was called Ricky. After Kipling's mongoose, you know, he was the dearest little fellow.
Don't you ever think of humans?
Humans? Oh, humans. No, Mr. Shawfield. Why should I? They've never thought of me. Give me Huey any day.
But he's only an animal.
That's what Violet said. He was such a dear little fellow. He used to run and meet me when I came back from work. He talked to me, you know. I've always loved animals. I believe I told you that I trained to be a vet.
Oh, of course. That's why you have a surgical knife. Why didn't you throw it away? It wasn't very clever of you to keep it in the car.
I still keep my instruments. I wish you'd seen little Ricky. He understood everything I said. And she waited until my back was turned. And then had him destroyed. My lovely cat. Oh,
she must have had her reasons.
Reasons? What possible reasons could there be for such a dreadful thing? She said he was dirty. After all, he was an old gentleman, 15 years old. It wasn't his fault if he occasionally made a mistake. But she couldn't bear anything dirty in her home. She took him round to the vet while I was at work and had him put to sleep. So I killed her. I suppose you are going to repeat all this to the police?
What else can I do? You litter the place with corpses like a battlefield. Mr. Curtis, I want you to tell me something.
Pardon?
You killed your wife.
I don't know why you keep on asking me that. I've never attempted to deny it. Of course I did. I was very clever about it.
All right, you were clever. But tell me this. Why do you always look over your shoulder?
What on earth do you mean?
Why are you always turning, as if there's someone behind you?
She's
still there, isn't she, Lionel? Violet is always there. Maybe there's a jigsaw pattern across her, but she's still there.
No! I'm sorry, dear. I won't keep you waiting long. I just have to speak to this gentleman. Well, don't be angry, dear. I'm just coming.
Mr. Curtis, you're not well.
Oh, yes, I am. And I'm clever, too. I'm cleverer than you. They'll never catch someone as clever as me. You're not going to the police. I shall make my getaway as I always have.
I suppose you're going to see Kate now.
Yes. The only person I could bear to talk to.
I don't really mind. I'm leaving here. I'm going back to teaching.
That sounds about the most sensible thing I've ever heard you say.
I can do my book in my spare time.
Yeah, expect you can.
What's the matter with Curtis? I saw him tearing down the stairs just now, as if all the devils in hell were after him.
I imagine they were.
I'm not driving fast, dear. Yes, dear, I did signal I was going right. Of course, dear. Just as you say, dear. And after all, dear, we have to get away, don't we? Huey! Oh, look away! There's a good old chap! Huey! I can't stop you! What am I going to do? Huey! Huey!
You might like to know I'm back. I'm not going out again. You needn't worry anymore, Kate.
Oh, my darling, my poor darling. You've been crying yourself sick. Oh, don't cry anymore. Go to sleep now.
Oh, you look terribly white. What's happened? Are you really not going back to Sylvia?
Sylvia? Oh, she's in the past, Kate. She's nothing to do with me anymore. I should have had the sense to know it a long time ago. Oh, my dear darling, you're worth a dozen of her. And I'm sorry I frightened you so. Listen to me, Kate. The shadow of murder is gone. And we're alive. We're going to stay alive and be happy. And, oh, my darling, Kate, I love you very much.
That was David March as John Shawfield, Rena Anderson as Mrs. Stewart, and Gudrun Ure as Kate Stewart in Shadow of Murder by Charity Blackstock, with Eric Anderson as Curtis, Fraser Carr as MacDonald, Molly Rankin as Mrs. Forbes, Arthur Lawrence as the taxi driver. The production, which was recorded, was by Audrey Cameron.
After the 11 o'clock news summary, Music at Night is a program of British chamber music, a piano recital given by Alan Rowlands. And he'll be playing works by E.J. Moran and Arnold Bax. And the main work is the sonata by John Ireland. That's Music at Night at approximately 2 minutes past 11 in the home service. Now, in just a few seconds, the chimes of Big Ben and the 10 o'clock news. This is the BBC Home Service. Here is the news read by Michael Murray. India has accused Pakistan of using tanks in a new border clash. Mr. George Brown has said he's going to issue a shop steward's guide very soon on his prices and incomes policy. Chelsea, watched by the 8 players suspended from training, were beaten 6-2 at Burnley and are now out of the running for the league championship. In one of tonight's matches, Portsmouth escaped relegation from the second division by drawing away to one of the promoted clubs, Northampton. The P&O liner Arcadia has been refloated after going aground in the Suez Canal. Lord Hives, former chairman of Rolls-Royce, has died at the age of 79. Indian and Pakistan troops engaged each other today in a new border clash, and judging by Indian accounts, it seems to have been a particularly vicious one, with the Pakistanis using tanks. The scene was the boggy wilderness known as the Ran of Kutch, where fighting has been going on intermittently for the past fortnight. It's in this area that the Indian border runs closest to Karachi, West Pakistan's biggest city. Most of the details of the fighting have come so far from the Indian side. According to their spokesman, Pakistan troops, numbering about 3,000, attacked a post held by a small Indian force. The Indians fought back, destroying 3 Pakistan tanks. The latest reports indicated that fighting was still going on. The Indian spokesman said Pakistan had brought up a substantial force, including, as well as tanks, medium artillery and 2 squadrons of fighter bombers. The scale of these preparations, he said, suggested that Pakistan was taking an increasingly threatening attitude. When you start using tanks, he added, it is very near war. A Pakistan spokesman has said that Pakistan forces retaliated after repeated firing from Indian positions in the Ran of Kutch. He claimed that the Indians suffered considerable casualties. It's not clear whether the Pakistan statement refers to the same engagement as described by the Indians or to another incident in the area. Our Commonwealth correspondent says the tone of the Indian spokesman's remarks is unusually tough, and if indeed Pakistan has been using tanks, then the situation will undoubtedly cause international concern. The British government is keeping a close watch on developments. Mr. George Brown has said he hopes to get out very soon a layman's guide, or shop steward's guide, to his new prices and incomes policy. At a union conference in Manchester, he said there would be a temptation to applaud the policy, but then to act as though it applied to the other fellow. There would be battles to fight within the unions over this. The policy was not one of restraint. It was a policy for more rapid expansion of income in real terms than we'd ever achieved before. It could mean that a man earning £16 a week last year would be able to earn £20 a week in 1970, not simply a paper increase, but a rise of 25% in his real spending power. Mr. Brown referred to groups such as teachers and nurses whose pay had fallen seriously out of line with the level for similar work, and added, "I could mention others much in the public eye at the moment." He'd seen people interviewed on television who still thought that so long as you cracked down on teachers or nurses or railwaymen, you were running an incomes policy. This was absolute rubbish, and it was time we stood out for a sensible and intelligent approach to this problem. Before the meeting, Mr. Brown said he was feeling much better after his 10 days' rest. The former Conservative Minister of Labour, Mr. Godber, speaking at Newcastle-on-Tyne, said that Mr. Brown's incomes policy was already beginning to look more than a little meaningless. Over the last 6 months, wages had been rising at an average rate of more than 8% a year. This, said Mr. Godber, would be good if everyone didn't know that it must mean a big rise in the cost of living. The 8 Chelsea players who were suspended from training earlier this week were spectators today when a makeshift side, which included 4 18-year-olds, lost their game at Burnley 6-2, and with it, Chelsea's remaining chance of the league championship. Lockhead scored 5 times for Burnley. Afterwards, in an interview in the BBC's Sports Report, the Chelsea manager, Tommy Docherty, said the 8 players hadn't been banned, they'd merely been sent home for staying out late. They would definitely go on to the club's coming tour of Australia. The league championship now rests between Leeds and Manchester United, who both won. Portsmouth, by drawing their match this evening at Northampton, escaped relegation to the third division by 1 point. They were helped by Jimmy Dickinson playing his last game for the club on his 40th birthday. Swindon and Swansea go down. In this afternoon's soccer, the Scottish Cup was won by Celtic, who beat Dunfermline 3-2 at Hampden Park, equaling Rangers' record of 18 wins. The Scottish First Division champions are Kilmarnock, after winning 2-0 away to Hearts, who are runners-up. At Wembley, Hendon won the FA Amateur Cup, beating Whitby Town 3-1. In the third division, Bristol City won promotion with Carlisle, and Luton, beaten 8-1 at Scunthorpe, will go down. The 30,000-ton P&O liner Arcadia went aground today in the Suez Canal, but has since been refloated and has anchored in port side. It's not thought that the ship has been damaged. The Arcadia, on a voyage from Britain to Australia, is carrying nearly 1,200 passengers. Southern region electric train crews have called off their threat to go slow from Monday. This was decided at a meeting in London today of representatives from about 30 depots in the Southeastern Division. After an appeal by Mr. Griffiths, General Secretary of the Drivers' Union, ASLEF, the men agreed to wait next week's meeting of the Union Executive. Some 600 motormen had said they'd work to rule because of continued delay in settling their claim for a productivity bonus. Lord Hives, a former chairman of Rolls-Royce, died today in the National Hospital for Nervous Diseases in London. He was 79 and had been in a coma since he went there more than 2 years ago after a stroke. Lord Hives joined the staff of Rolls-Royce as a mechanic at the age of 22 and became managing director in 1946. He was made a companion of honour in 1943. The Minister of Land and Natural Resources, Mr. Fred Willey, today attended the official opening of the Pennine Way, Britain's first statutory long-distance footpath that stretches 250 miles from Edale in Derbyshire to just over the Scottish border at Kirkyetham. At the ceremony at Malham Ling's in Yorkshire, he said he was making an urgent and comprehensive review of a policy for the countryside. This would have the backing of all the necessary powers to ensure that people could enjoy the countryside in all its aspects. The American government has published the results of a 6-month experiment to find out how people and property react to the bangs made by the supersonic aircraft over a long period. Oklahoma City was chosen for the test, and American Air Force planes made over 1,200 bangs at the rate of about 7 or 8 a day. Our Washington correspondent says it was found the damage to property was fairly slight. Windows seemed to have broken only where they were damaged or badly installed in the first place, and much the same was the case with plaster. More interesting was the reaction of people. At first, over 90% of those questioned said they thought they could learn to accept the bangs. But halfway through the test, only 80% thought they could get used to it, and by the end of 6 months, a quarter of those asked said no. They thought they could never learn to live with the bangs. Socialist leaders from 13 countries have been entertained at Chequers today at a meeting of the Socialist International. Informal talks, which went on throughout the day and into the evening, were concentrated on the problems of European economic cooperation, Southeast Asia and Africa. After the full conference, a special after-dinner session between the prime ministers of Norway and Sweden, the vice-chancellor of Austria, and Mr. Harold Wilson discussed means of bringing the countries of EFTA and the common market closer together. The expenses of the conference, it is said, are being met by Mr. Wilson, as this was not a government, but a party occasion. 74 of the 77 riders in the vintage motorcycling club's Coventry to Brighton run arrived in Brighton tonight. The other 3 broke down on the way. The 6 oldest machines, all built more than 50 years ago, completed the 150-mile run. So did the only woman competitor, Mrs. Margaret McMahon of Coventry, who rode a 35-year-old machine. The Soviet Foreign Minister, Mr. Gromyko, according to the New York Times, is to have an executive type of American limousine costing about £6,000. It is equipped with a bar and a television, and the report says it is already being shipped to Russia. The car, a Lincoln, will take 8 people. The weather? Tomorrow is expected to be dry for much of the day, with some sunshine in eastern areas. Rain will later spread from the west. That's the end of the news.